Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Todd Clint's SharePoint podcast number 310, recorded live Monday, October 17th, 2016. I am your host, Todd Clint, and sadly, once again, I am joined by that other guy. Take it away.
The great and fabulous and powerful Mr. Shane Young is here to bring all of your needs today, right? We're going to keep Todd on the straight and narrow. That's what I'm here for.
There may be a great and powerful Shane Young out there somewhere because there's a bunch of you guys. I just don't think you're him. You are it's like a sad, pathetic Shane Young that the...
How about your favorite SharePoint consultant that is Shane Young? Can I be that?
Here we go. My favorite Shane Young in the basement of your house.
Perfect.
All this shenanigans and entertainment is brought to you by Rackspace. You can go to sharepoint.rackspace.com and find out about the SharePoint offerings. You can go to rackspace.com/Microsoft to find out about the other non-SharePoint but equally exciting Microsoft offerings at Rackspace. And like I said, I'm Todd Clint. You can find me on Twitter at Todd Clint. I got a blog, todd.clint or toddclint.com. My email is todd.clint@rackspace.com. If you want to get a hold of that other guy, he's got some details too.
Who are you again? Todd.clint.com. I'm going to try that out. So I am Shane Young, as I mentioned before, and I am with Bold Zebras. Those guys up there, look at that. Woo!
And I see now Bold Zebras has at least one Microsoft MVP on staff.
Yep, right there about nose high. What I found though is the blue there on the MVP really brings out the blue in my eyes. It's kind of a trick there, a little visual messery.
I see that. I put on a blue shirt. I'm trying to bring out the blue in my eyes.
I thought you were trying to bring out the blue in your 7-week-old beard there.
In my complexion. No, this is it's come along nicely. I don't remember when I shaved last, but it's it's all that. All right. So we got all that. Let's move up to the production notes. I am all caught up. 309 went out late last week sometime. Everything's good. It was met with much excitement in the Twitter sphere. Dave Aykroyd was surprised because it came out the actual week that it was recorded and that some of the information in it might actually be timely and relevant. So that was completely by accident, Dave. We apologize. We didn't mean for it to have any value at all.
I mean, let's just be honest. You've been on a tear putting these things out. You're really kind of setting the bar. You're moving the bar up on yourself, right? And now when you're like, hey, it's been 2 months since I put one out, people are going to be a little annoyed. So
yeah. Well, and so then that brings up the other thing. Next week, I'm going to be traveling. So I won't be doing this on Monday. You'll be doing it. And you don't know how to produce it yet. So then I'm going to be traveling for forever and then have to do it. So we need to get you up to speed on the production stuff.
Oh, yeah. I see where this is going. Yep, Shane, you just go ahead and hit produce there. If you could do that every week, that'd be nice.
Yep, congratulations on your promotion, Shane. I knew you could do it. You've been with the company long enough. It's time for some expanded responsibilities.
Well, we've got Camtasia 9 now, right? It's supposed to make it all magical and just do all the work for me. So how hard could it be?
I have not downloaded that yet. So for those of you that don't know about the inner workings of how the sausage is made here, I have forever used Camtasia to put this thing together, and they released a new version last week, and I've been afraid to install it because I, you know, new software and all that. So that would be good to know. I'm glad to hear you've got it. Try it out. Let me know how that works.
Yeah, I put it on. And, you know, it's a good time for us to say thanks to the folks at Camtasia, right? Because they provide our licenses for free. Good old TechSmith, so Camtasia, Snagit, all those wonderful products that Todd and I use every single week to produce these shows, the YouTube channels, all that stuff. So check them out if you ever need to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, TechSmith.com. And like Shane said, Camtasia and Snagit are the two big ones. Snagit's been around forever. I mean, literally like 20 years, I don't remember. And I remember the first time somebody told me about Snagit. They're like, oh, you got to get the Snagit thing. It's great for screenshots and all that. And I remember mocking them mercilessly because Windows forever has had print screen built in. You hit print screen, you go into Paint, hit Control V, it pastes it in there. And I remember mocking them for spending money on print screen. And then I became an MVP and got the free license. And I felt embarrassed because the first time I installed Snagit, it is just an amazing tool for capturing and editing and all kinds of stuff. And so whenever I install a new PC, I've got like four things that I have to install right away, and Snagit is on that list. Absolutely. Every machine I use.
Yeah, I was, I did a interview for them for their blog probably 5 years ago, maybe longer than that. And they found it really bizarre, but one of the things, my favorite feature of Snagit is actually the editor. right? It's the best editor out there for like when I need to go in and edit pixel by pixel stuff, especially like when we did the book screenshots where they had to be perfect.
Yep.
One time, so John Ross helped me with a SharePoint designer chapter for, I think, the 2010 book, way back in time here. And he's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm a big Cincinnati Bengals fan. And so in his walkthrough scenario, didn't really talk about it in the text, but his screenshots were showing the Steelers being this great team for all these things and the Bengals being terrible. He sent it all over. I said, thanks. I'll put it out. I pretended like I didn't notice. I went in there with the old Snagit pixel by pixel and changed the words. It was a glorious one because he didn't find out until the book literally showed up. He went to open the page. He's like,
that is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. The editor's absolutely great. I use it for editing everything. Yeah, whether I've taken the picture with Snagit or not.
100% agree.
Yeah. And so every blog post I've ever written that's got a screenshot in it, I took it and edited it with Snagit. So yeah, techsmith.com, great stuff. But I'll have to try the Camtasia 9. On to the topics. All right. So did you put that first one in or did I put it in?
You did.
I did. All right. So this is something that came out a couple of weeks ago. We always have stuff that doesn't make it right away because Shane talks too much. And so stuff gets bumped down.
Oh,
but one of the things is Azure Active Directory conditional access. So this, it's a blog post that I linked to on azure.microsoft.com, but it first came out the 21st of September. So a couple of weeks ago. But what conditional access is just another in the long, long list of security benefits you get once you start using Azure Active Directory to sign into Office 365 and Azure proper and things like that. And so you've always had things like multi-factor authentication, things like that. But now they add things like which platform you're on, where you're at network-wise. So if you log into Office 365 from a certain network block, they let you right in. If you log in from someplace else, then they prompt you for two-factor, things like that. And so just all kinds of great stuff that comes as part of having the service that they can update frequently. And so that's one of those things. If you've got Azure AD, you're using Office 365, check that out.
And then amazing, right? It used to be, I don't know if the cloud will be secure enough for me. I don't know if the cloud is safe, right? And now I don't know a single person whose data center is safer than the cloud.
You know, and so that's that, so Shane and I have a long journey in this because 5+ years ago, we were consultants for on-prem stuff. And so people would ask us about hosting things at, you know, data centers and all that. We would tell them all about how scary it was, all your stuff's going across the wire and all that. And then we were acquired by Rackspace, who was a hosting company. And so they sat us down. We had our Come to Jesus meeting, which was mostly an educational thing about, you know, the value of the cloud, the security of hosting and all that kind of stuff. So we changed our tune a little bit. And then in the last couple of years with Azure and all that, watching Microsoft do the security things they've done has just been amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's really just very self-serving of us. I think it's what you're trying to say, right? When we were comfortable with on-prem, we're like, do on-prem. We're comfortable with the cloud, we're like, do on cloud.
In our defense, the security posture of the cloud has gotten significantly better since when we were talking about how bad it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the same. Like we used to tell people, right, you could never run SQL on virtual machines. I mean, yep. We were adamant and we were very accurate at the time. But, you know, now the technology's caught up and people have built for those and optimized for those workloads. And so now you can. But, yeah, back then, yeah, we were very adamant against it. So, same story.
Yeah, there's certainly a time where we would tell people not to virtualize SharePoint. We're like, well, you know, if you got to, you got to, don't do it. But definitely don't do SQL. And now that's all changed. So yeah, that's just one other thing that the security of Azure AD, just every week, something new is coming out. I almost feel like at some point we should just talk about all those different things, get kind of a list of our favorite 5 security features of Azure AD or something and talk about that. Cause there's so much out there and they're always adding new things. It's easy to fall behind.
That's the crazy thing, right? Your favorite feature has replaced the following week with something new and better and greater because, you know, yep, it gets better. So
the promise of the cloud.
Constant beta.
Yes. Yes, you are constant beta. So the next one for sure is one that I added. And this is a blog post that I published about 30 minutes before we went online. It's one I've been kicking around for a couple of days and finally just got around to actually typing it up and all that. Folks that don't have blogs, I think, probably don't appreciate how much work blog posts take, especially technical ones, you know, screenshots with Snagit and all that. So it just took, it took a long time. So this was something, this is another one of those, you know, in the trenches kind of blog posts. Had a customer that's rolling out Office 365. They've got on-prem everything, AD, SharePoint Exchange, all that kind of stuff. And they're slowly rolling out Office 365. And they're doing it in a way that's not completely different than how a lot of companies do it. They're rolling out groups at a time, you know, 10 or 20 people. And, but on top of that, the added complexity is they're also rolling out the services one or two at a time. And so this particular company is not yet ready to roll out Exchange everywhere, because of, you know, executives and buy-in and worrying about losing mail and all that kind of stuff. That whole thing has been the case for 20 years that email is the most important thing. SharePoint goes down, people get a little mad. Email goes down, people just quit working. They just go home or whatever. Stay at home, but go watch TV. So this company's kind of trying to figure that whole thing out, but they want to get people out in Office 365 now. And so I'd been talking to him about how great PowerShell was and how you could automate all this onboarding stuff, but we come into a snag. And that snag was, when you're onboarding people, they already had directory sync set up, so all their identities existed in Azure AD. But when you go through and run the set MSOL user license, it sets the entire license. And some licenses have service plans underneath them. So if you've got an E3 license, it's got a bunch of things that show up underneath there, Exchange and SharePoint being two of those things. And so there wasn't an obvious way how to script licensing somebody for SharePoint, but not licensing them for Exchange so that they wouldn't go in and try to do Exchange things, or heaven forbid, try to use Yammer. That was another thing they didn't want to get people licensed for. So in the UI, it's very easy. You turn the license on, and then if you hit the arrow, it shows all the service plans and you just uncheck the ones you want. But in PowerShell, it's a little trickier. So I went out, did some Googling and some Binging, and figured out how that all worked, and wrote this up. So basically what I ended up doing was I went into the UI and created one user the way that I wanted. So I went into one user, and they had a bunch that were already set up that way. So I went into one that was set up correctly and said, okay, you know, made sure it's set up correctly. And then I went out to PowerShell to try to figure out where all those pieces were at. And it was part of the licensing property of that user. And each license that the user has, so in this case, they have their enterprise SKU, and then they've got project, but you might have like planner or any of these other kind of things. They all show up, and then each of those have a service status property, the licenses do. And under the enterprise SKU, that's where Exchange and Yammer and all that kind of stuff show up. So basically, I kicked out the user that was set up correctly in my blog post. It's a nice fellow named Enrique. Kicked out all of Enrique's service plans. And when you list them all out, you can see, Yammer Enterprise is disabled, but MCO Standard, which is Link for Business, Microsoft Communicator, is enabled, you know, success. So basically went through and just said all the ones that are disabled for Enrique are the ones that we need to disable. And then I used a PowerShell command line I hadn't used before, new MSOL license options. And basically said, here's the SKU, Enterprise Premium. Here are the disabled plans. And I listed all the ones that were disabled. And then when I licensed that user, I could apply those options to it. And any new users aren't licensed for those things.
Oh, that was a very, very great, I think, example, though, of one of the fun things of PowerShell, right? I could really just see when you, I read the blog post. I know I don't usually read Todd's garbage, but he paid me $5 to read it today. But reading it, right, you can really just see the light bulb come on. You know, you're like digging, you do the first command, you're like, what I want's not there. But then, you know, Todd shows how he digs down into one of the properties of the object he pulled. Yeah, the licensing object. And then there's all the data, right? And for me, that's one of the most fulfilling things about PowerShell. You're like, it can't be done. I ran the command that they gave me. It's not there. But then you just go one step further or a step below that, right? It's the same like when you're working with SharePoint list. So they stop at the web, you go get the list, and then you realize from the list you can get the list item, and then from the list item you get the properties of it. That to me is the most exciting part about PowerShell, and that feeling of conquered and found what I was looking for.
Yep, that is true. So, and so Jack's sending out a blog post that he has on the same property, the same thing apparently. But yeah, that was exactly it. So I've been talking to these folks about how great PowerShell was, and they're like, oh, well, how do we do this? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure there's a way. We'll figure it out. So
Now, I told them that secret, right? If you don't know how to do something, you say, Todd, this can't be done in PowerShell. And Todd will figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I always jump to PowerShell's defense. But, you know, that light bulb coming on, I taught a class last week to some folks using PowerShell with Office 365. And I was trying to explain that excitement to them, you know, when I was going through Get Member and showing the properties and methods and trying to explain to them how when you and I were learning PowerShell, what that was like the first time we discovered the properties of webs. And we're like, oh, look at all the things we can do.
It was amazing, right? That was just webs. We didn't even realize at that point we could get to lists and stuff, right? That yep. When I wrote that script the other day to copy the list items based on the date or the parameter or whatever, I'm like, oh, I don't need third-party tools. I have PowerShell. Ah.
Yep. So this is one of those. And it was a good one. Good script for folks to use. And obviously, you know, the script that I have isn't full fidelity. It doesn't, you know, I don't have the part where like you would walk through a CSV file or anything like that. It's just the pieces of it. But that's good. So put that one out there. Enjoy that. Let me know what you think. Give me some feedback on that.
Good little blog post. Kudos to you today. You get a gold star.
Thanks. Your approval means so much to me.
I knew that's what you were waiting on. See, that's how you guys know, right? Todd just keeps talking about something. So I finally say, yes, Todd, you did a good job. And then yes.
You're very smart. Here's your Scooby snack. And yep.
All right. So then now you got to explain about the OneDrive. Is this the OneDrive for business, OneDrive for pleasure, you know, the OneDrive?
Yeah. That should be the next one. Just one OneDrive. So this is something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. At Ignite, Microsoft announced that they were making good on one of their promises about updating the OneDrive for business client, or what they called then, I don't know if they still do, the next gen client, which I've often wondered, what do you call the one after that? And then what do you call the next gen client when the next one comes out? The old next gen? I don't know.
You start with zero or do you start with one?
I never know. So basically we talked about that and there was many features that the next gen sync client was missing when it first came out. One of the biggest ones was the inability to sync SharePoint Online document libraries that were not in your My Site. So if you, you know, you click OneDrive, which takes you to OneDrive for Business, it's your personal site collection. It would sync that one all day long. And now that's a lie. It wouldn't sync it all day long, but it would sync that one. And that was its intended purpose. But if you had a team site somewhere in SharePoint Online, you couldn't use that same one to sync locally. You had to use the old Groove based OneDrive client. And there was this weird deal where different clients would pop up. It was pretty terrible. So at Ignite, they announced that the next gen sync client, they were previewing that functionality. And they were also adding the ability to sync individual folders. So something that those of us who have used consumer file syncing software, Dropbox and Box and those kind of things have had forever. But this ability to say, I want to sync the document library in this team site, but not the whole document library, just this folder. So now if we go back to the whole folders versus metadata argument, now we've got a checkbox in the folders thing because you can control how you sync it. But anyway, so I got brave last week and I went ahead and installed that new sync client, and it's not treated me poorly. It's not sucked nearly as much as I thought that it would. So that was a good.
I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, that was. I was as surprised as anybody. So when it does this, there's some instructions you have to go through and kill Groove if you've got it, and you install this thing. There's a registry key you have to set because right now the non My Site syncing is in preview, so you have to take a deliberate action so that it knows you really mean to do it. And so then when you fire it back up, now when you go into SharePoint Online, you go to a team site, when you hit sync, it triggers that client and it works pretty well. A couple of weird things with it is it doesn't sync it in the same directory. It's kind of weird. So when you configure OneDrive, when you install it the first time, you tell it where to go, essentially. And so then, but what that does, the root of that folder is your My Site. So there's no place inside of there to sync other stuff. And so what it does is it creates another location. So it creates another location in your left-hand thing in Explorer. But your old one was OneDrive dash your tenant name. So, you know, OneDrive dash Spacely Sprockets. It creates another one that's just Spacely Sprockets, which is confusing because they're both OneDrive. Anyway, But then in your file system, it creates a sibling there for those. But it all works. I have some PowerPoints in there that I was working on. I edited them right in Explorer and all that. They synced up fine. So far, so good.
You might know more about OneDrive than anyone on the planet. When you talk, when you just drone on, because I get so bored when you talk about OneDrive, right? You just go and go and go. You're like, this and this and this and this. I'm like, holy crap. You know, OneDrive, right? It's this thing, and that's all I know about it. But kudos to you. I mean, I'm not, other than the boring part, I'm not insulting you.
None intended, none taken.
Well, the fact that you know so much is not insulting. The fact that you're boring is probably insulting, but, you know, I can only do so much here with what I got.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the reason I wanted to bring that is there's a light at the end of the tunnel. For those of us that are forced to use OneDrive because of, you know, using SharePoint Online and Office 365, it's had some pretty glaring holes over the last couple of years, and they're getting smaller. It's getting better. I have mocked OneDrive heartily over the years, and I'm starting to come around. It's not so bad.
Well,
so
I mean, what?
Good.
Once it gets finished, though, what are you going to have to talk about? I mean, you are the premier OneDrive consultant in the planet. So what's next?
I'll find something else.
You got to feed your kid. You'll find a new way to make some money.
I'll do something. But if you've got Office 365, you've got SharePoint on-prem and all that, I encourage you to go out and install that OneDrive Sync client. Have a machine. You know, it's obviously not a service or SharePoint thing, so you can have it installed on one test machine, but not on another. Things like that. It's working pretty good.
Well, good to know. Like I said, it's crazy. There's a lot there.
Kudos to you for knowing a lot about something nobody likes or cares about. That's exactly right.
I mean, I didn't fall asleep. I guess there's that.
Oh, crap.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do if we ever get the software worked out where like both of our faces are up at the same time, right? Because now I know when you're droning on, I can just do whatever. I can sit here and play my puzzles or whatever. But, you know, we have that software. I got to pay attention the whole time you're talking. I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, there's a trick to that. If I don't want the camera to show up on me, I just mute my mic because that's how it switches back and forth. Yep. So you start droning, I hit my mic, and if I nod off and start snoring or whatever, I know it won't come back to me.
Little thud.
Exactly.
All right. So then next up, right, October 2016 patches came out last week. I don't know about you, but I've heard zilch about them, right? The Microsoft makes the reference that supposedly they're faster than September's, but I kind of got the impression that was only if you'd already installed September. So if you're going from, you know, pre-September to October, it's going to take a million years. But if you're going September to October, it's supposed to be lickety-split. So, or not, you know, considerate. So I don't know. Have you heard anything else about the patches? Any pros or cons?
No, and I haven't put the October ones on yet. But I did find it funny that in the knowledge base article notes for the October patch, it actually calls out that it's faster than the September patch. Like the September patch was so very slow, they felt like they had to call out that the October one is not as slow.
Well, I started talking to them literally that day, right? I started talking to some different people at Microsoft, and they're like, oh yeah, it's, you know, it says in the article that it might take 30 minutes. I'm like, no, you need to say in the article it takes like 10x the time that you're expecting, because it was just, they're like, yeah, we said it's a little slow. No, it's shockingly slow at September 1. So for them to call that out in October, maybe they came to acceptance that September was really evil.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that I quoted the number correctly. In the knowledge base article for the, and I'm looking at the language independent patch right here, it says should be 20 to 40% faster than the September patch. It's
so what I'm curious, those of you that are listening, you know, if any of you go from a pre-September to October, tweet me or somehow let me know how long it takes you, because I took that to mean, right, that September to October is faster, but not August to October. So I wanted someone that does that bigger threshold, if you will, to tweet me and tell me what their results are.
Yeah. So I have not gotten a chance to put that on any of my farms yet, but I will do so. The 2016 patch pages at toddclinton.com/sp2016builds, that is updated. The 2013, the wiki page is updated, but I haven't put it in the builds page yet, but I will do that shortly.
Yeah. There you go. I'll make my YouTube videos this week on, you know, how to quick next finish.
Atta boy. There we go. The internet loves YouTube videos.
But I mean, I'm doing two brand new sessions on Friday. Thursday afternoon, I got to start figuring out what I'm going to say on Friday morning. So, you know, if it doesn't get done by then, I might be in trouble.
Yeah. So I know that the audience has been clamoring for an update on what your experience is like with the iPhone now. So we've come to that part of the show.
This week I did a better job of capturing the pain points and the goods as I went along. Biggest one, maybe one of you can solve this for me, but when I text message or email from my phone, 9 times out of 10, it is to ask a question or something of that nature. And as far as I can tell, to get to the question mark, you got to go in, you know, flip keyboards over, you know, find it and do it. Whereas a Windows phone, I can just hold the period down and then whoop, there's a question mark. So is there a faster way to use a question mark on the iPhone? If you know one, let me know. It drives me bonkers. 3D Touch. So I've got the 7 Plus. And 3D Touch, while I guess it's kind of a neat feature, it's not intuitive. It's real easy to be over-touching versus under-touching. And so, like, when I'm trying to, like, make the home screen...
This is family-friendly. We've promised, yeah.
I'm doing my best here.
Maybe children in the room, yeah.
You know, trying to press it, you know, if you lightly touch, you're okay, but if you over-touch... So it's a little weird. There's a doll involved. It's all a little tough, but 3D Touch, not the greatest. I still... No new email account on the home screen, lock screen, whatever. Brr. Terrible. Using Outlook for iPhone. Those guys, it's typical Microsoft software. Half of it is slide your finger back and forth to do stuff, and half of it is press. So sometimes when I'm trying to press and I slide, I get the wrong screen. That's not very nice.
In Microsoft defense, I think they bought that. So I think 2 years ago, that was a product somebody else bought. So then, so Microsoft's moving it over.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a better email client. I give it that, but it's awkward sometimes when you want to slide one thing, but the other thing slides. It's, I don't know, not the best interface. And then my last one is the auto type struggles. That's probably on me. You know, it's just not as good as a Windows phone. It's not as smart. And you get two different auto types. You get the one that's like part of the keyboard, but if you go click on the word in your text message, you get a different auto type options, and that one's smarter than this one. So I don't know. It's bizarre. So bizarre. I'm stressed.
Yeah. So I've been playing a little bit. I went the Android route, and I've been playing more with, like the speech to text and all that kind of stuff. And I've been enjoying that, and helps some of those things. Like for the question mark, you can just say question mark. So if I'm sending Lori a text and I'm like, why is Shane such an idiot? Question mark. It puts all that out there. So there's some of those things are fixed with that.
Yeah. Well, that's Hey Siri works pretty well too. Oh, my phone's never mind. I shouldn't have said those words. Shut up.
And we apologize to all of you that are listening that have iPhones as well.
I'm new to this problem, right? But I used that for the first time. I was like, I said those words. I said, is the PetSmart open? And it's like, I found one near Arbor Square. Is that the one you mean? I was like, yes. And it said the hours are. I was impressed. That was good.
Yeah. So if you're on Android, one of the things that'll happen, there's a little Google search bar. And if you search for a store, like if I search for Best Buy, obviously I know where Best Buy's at and all that, but it will give you all the results. And then at the top, it will give you that information. So it'll say the nearest Best Buy is Ames, hours are, phone number is, all the stuff you would want to know. So that's super smart stuff.
Well, this will come as a huge shock to you. I've actually been using the Bing app on my iPhone as my primary way of searching and doing things. I'm a Bing guy. I can't help it.
And I've lost track of all those partnerships. Like, didn't Apple have a partnership with Microsoft for a while to use Bing instead of Google?
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't keep up with who likes who anymore. I know that the Bing app that installed on the iPhone is a great app. So it didn't come with it. I had to put it on there, but it works really well.
Yeah. So in the chat room, we're talking about all the different keywords that we can't say. Like if you've got the Amazon Echo, you can't say, you know, you have to refer to her as she who shall not be named and all that. That's getting more complicated. And Google had their event, you know, last week or whatever on the 4th, they're releasing their Amazon Echo competitor, Google Home. And it's going to have the same wake word as the phones do, which I won't say. So I'm curious how all that's going to work if you have that enabled on your Android phone and you've got one of these Google Home things. And then, of course, Windows has its stuff going on.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's. I'd love for somebody to educate me as well, because, like, speaking of the Windows one, I used to use Cortana for everything because I hit the search button and then I could type. So I use Cortana by typing, and I haven't figured out how to use the lady that won't be mentioned without just talking to her. I want to type to her.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing maybe that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Yeah, I'm hoping one day one of the viewers is going to just say, hey, Shane, I'm going to sit you down for an hour, and I'm going to teach you how to use your phone so you stop.
I'm going to talk real slow and show you. It's like maybe you can have Grant or Luke show you how to use it.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's like when you go into the Apple store. You ever see when they're running the classes for senior citizens and stuff? I mean, at this point, right, I mean, I'm approaching 40. I think from Apple standards, I am a senior citizen. So
just want to pull up a chair at the back and all that.
Be like, hey, you know, I've taught technology for 20 years now, but can you teach me to use my iPhone?
I can't figure out how you turn this thing on.
All right, we're just rambling away, aren't we?
Yep. All right.
What are we supposed to be talking about?
Oh, that was it. That was the thing. So you had one more phone thing, so hit that one up.
Oh, yeah. So I was reading an article today about the Windows phone, you know, now that I've abandoned the platform. The NYPD is using it. All 36,000 of their officers have Windows Phone, and they're actually using it. They claim they solve crimes 20% faster because of it. I guess it's that quick access to data and, you know, being at their side of their hands. So I thought that was pretty wild. Apparently, they're still using 8.1. That's why they're able to solve things 20% faster. They're going to move to 10 next year, so those numbers will probably go the wrong direction after that.
So my immediate question is 20% faster than what? What did they have before they went to Windows Phone?
Pen and paper.
So it's not like they had some fanciful, you know, setup with iPhones or Android, and
I'm just quoting
I'm not shooting the messenger. I mean, I would, but
if you had the chance.
given the opportunity. Yeah, hey, so Tom, that's good.
Sorry, I was gonna say, here, I'm running with scissors. What would you like me to do?
Excellent. So yeah, and I saw a thing earlier today about that HP, that new phone that they've got that does the dock and the continuum stuff. At this day and age, we're almost through with 2016. It is amazing to me that a single person anywhere ever buys Windows Phone, and that there's anybody on earth that manufactures Windows phones. Like I was the biggest Windows Phone fanboy for the longest time, and I don't get it. I just don't understand.
I got nothing. You know, unfortunately, I mean, things like Continuum are pretty awesome, but I literally never even opened mine.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I mean, while I think it's there, it's just, it's not there. That's the first step. You know, Continuum needs about two more passes before I think it's a mainstream thing. And Windows Phone at that point won't exist, so it won't matter. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel bad for everybody involved. All right, and then there's one other story that you needed to tell. And those of you that have ever heard Shane or I speak in public will enjoy the bejesus out of this story. Shane, take it away.
Yeah, I thought of you the moment it happened, Todd. I mean, literally, as it came out of the kid's mouth. So as you all know, I mispronounce the word O-R-A-N-G-E, orange. Todd, will you say it correctly? I literally can't. I don't understand. How is it supposed to be said?
Orange.
Yep, no idea what you just said. I just heard what I said. But so, you know, the other day I was doing colors with my four-year-old. We won't get into that. But as we're going through colors, I was like, yep, those things over there are orange. And he's like, no, Daddy, it's not orange. It's whatever that word is that Todd said.
Orange.
That. I'm like, what in the heck just happened? I mean, kids never heard anyone, I assume you've never mocked me in front of my child before, since you've never hung out with my child, but
Grant, I may have, but not Luke.
Yeah, I mean, Luke, the four-year-old, came up with this on his own that Daddy says orange the wrong way and mocked me for it. And I was like, man, that's really, really sad.
I hope little Sparky set him up to it. I hope she, you know.
She doesn't correct me, though. I don't know. So, you know, I mean, should I go ahead and just say poem for you as well? Right? Because I think the way I can almost say this one right, it's like poem, Poem?
Poem.
Poem. Poem.
Poem.
Yeah, it's like apparently, you know, so my dad's name is Dale, but apparently there's a difference between Dale and Farmer in the Dell.
Yes, and, for most of us there are. Yes.
Nope, it's the same word as far as I'm concerned, so.
Oh, goodness sake.
And Laura's agreeing with me. She's from the South. It's a South thing. You got you foreigners, you Northerners just don't understand.
Foreigners.
So there you go. I have now upset myself to tell you the story about my child mocking me for saying aren't I don't know. It's my favorite color too. That's the worst part.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is too funny. Yeah. So when your 4-year-old is mocking you, yeah, you know you're doing something wrong.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna bring my 4-year-old on here. Why is it that I mock you at your math skills? Oh, that kid.
Too funny. Well, I think we've got other stuff, but I think we're not gonna have time. So one of the things that Shane and I have kicked around is having a show that's mostly, or if not mostly, completely dedicated to podcasting. The gear that we use, the process, all that kind of stuff. You know, I've done this kind of in the past, but with technology, that stuff just moves more quickly. So if there's people that have interest in that, we've got some notes on that. We could do that.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, right, so we want to talk about the technology, the hardware, the software, but then also talk about all those pain in the butt things that you really need to do to maximize it afterwards, right? So thumbnails and stingers and, you know, that whole question I had about YouTube versus Channel 9 and just trying to figure out those type of balances. I think there's a lot of lessons that Todd and I've learned over the years doing that stuff that, you know, I think it'd make for a good show. We'd probably run 30, 45 minutes alone just on kind of that process though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and it's one of those things, you know, I've been doing this now for 7 years or whatever, and it has changed radically since I started. And so it's one of those things. I want to do the session because there's a lot to learn, but I almost feel like it would be embarrassing. Number one, because it would be so outdated, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, it would seem silly. And then the other thing is I'm just afraid there's so many things that we're doing wrong that once we mark down all the stuff we're doing, people are going to go, oh, I can't believe you're doing it this way. Everybody's doing it this way. But yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good news is we do news every week that never gets posted. It's obsolete by the time it comes out anyway. So what's the difference if we do podcasting, you know, how to, and it comes out and it's mocked. Yeah.
So the good news I have about that, Shane, is I've promoted a new producer that we'll be getting right on that. So hopefully we'll have some more timely,
updates. So you have a new whipping boy when the video didn't come out, Shane's fault.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that takes us to shameless. Is that, did I say that correctly? A shameless promotion? That's what you would like, a shameless promotion.
I tried not to put any of your trigger words in there, the ones, yeah.
Trigger words. We should talk about that one day. When I see these things around colleges having to have safe places for trigger words, you know, don't go into the debate. They might use one of your trigger words. If they do, here's our 24/7 counseling. What in the heck is that?
Sometime after the behind the podcast episode, we'll do that one.
All right, do some promotions.
So next week I'm going to be gone. Why am I going to be gone? I'm going to be in Europe. You guys missed it, but Shane was clapping maniacally. You couldn't see him. So I'm going to be in Europe. I'm going to be a week from now. I'm going to be landing in Ljubljana, Slovenia, heading to a conference in Bled, Slovenia, SharePoint Days. And I'll be talking about upgrading to SharePoint 2016 and Azure Active Directory and getting that all synced up and all those things. And then Wednesday, I think, I fly up to Stockholm, Sweden for the IT Unity SharePoint Exchange Forum thing up there. Same topics. So if you're going to be at either one of those, for goodness sakes, come find me. Come say hey, and I would love to chat with you. But I will be gone all week, getting back just in time for Halloween. So no exaggeration, I land at like 4:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, and I may drive directly to a Halloween party. I may get a chance to come home and shower first. I don't know what the time will be like, but that's my schedule for the next week.
What'd you dress up at? What are you going to be for Halloween?
I think I'm going to go as a weary traveler. I think that's, I'm just going to sit on a couch. Yeah.
Is there no costumes in the Todd Quint world?
You know, not any that I know of, and we just moved. And maybe I'll go out and buy something. I should go out. So did you have those pajamas, or did you just talk about buying the pajamas, the onesies? I should go out and see if there's like an Iron Man onesie or something that I could buy.
See, so I would like to tell you, because I have something in that is my costume, but now I think that on the 31st, I think I'm just going to do the show in costume. So I don't know if I want to ruin the surprise.
Is Halloween? Oh, we should do that. We should do that. We'll talk offline. Yeah. I think I've never done the show in costume before. That would be hysterical.
I mean, you wear the Santa hat for all of December, so I just feel like this is kind of continuing that tradition.
That's true. That's true. Good idea. Good idea.
And Laura, who wants to see you get shot, said wear your creepy clown costume. Yeah. But we're not going to get there because that's insensitive. So my shameless promotion, Friday, I will be at ScarePoint Cincinnati doing a couple of talks. Apparently Daniel Glenn will show up as well. So if he doesn't come back, I probably food poisoned him. Just kind of just FYI, so we're all on the same page that it is premeditated at this point. But other than that, I've got the YouTube channel still posting stuff. And I am still finding that I'm getting a lot more views on most of my content over on Channel 9. So I'm actually investing in doing a little more on Channel 9. And Todd and I are going to start releasing this show on Channel 9, I think, also, just as we put it everywhere else to spam the world. Why not spam it there, too? So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, why shouldn't they be subjected to it?
I mean, your mom can watch it there just as well as she can watch it on YouTube. It's good.
Exactly. Well, we went horribly over. We went like 14 minutes over. I feel terrible. Chat room, I'm going to stick around for a while, but we're going to go ahead and sign this one off. Again, my apologies in advance for 311. It's going to be nothing but Shane. It's going to stink. I'm sorry. I'll actually be on a plane, I think, at this time. So we'll figure something out. This is me signing off for a couple weeks. Shane, you want to say goodnight? Goodbye to the nice people?
Toodles.
See you guys next. I'll see you in 2 weeks. He'll see you in 1 week.